This is Infidel One. Offending Coyote Down. Offending Coyote Down.
Roger that.
Welcome to Trappin' Radio. We're proud, organic, free-range, wild fur farmers of North America.
Let me tell you a little story about how I was raised. Every day work, every day pray. God, family, friends, yeah, everybody sins. A winner never quits, and a quitter never wins. Help folks in need, don't fall for greed. A jealous man is weak, so think before you speak. If you love them, let them know. If you hate, let it go. Fast can be fun, but sometimes you need slow. God is all good, the devil is so real. So listen up, y'all, cause this is how I feel.
I won't back up, I don't back down. I've been raised up to stand my ground. Take my job, but not my guns. Tax my check till I ain't got none. Except for the good Lord up above. I answer to no one.
Now let's cover our sponsors. They do a lot to help support Trappin' Radio. So I'm asking you guys out there and gals to help support our sponsors as they keep Trappin' Radio on the air. First sponsors, Oki Cable and Trap Supply. Jeb's the owner of this. He's out of Oklahoma. Super guy. You'll not meet anybody nicer. It's somebody you're going to want to deal with. You can reach him at oktrapsupply.com. You can give Jeb a call at 918-429-4648. Not only does he do trap supply guys, he's a fur buyer, so if you're around the Oklahoma or surrounding states, give him a call with your fur. When you need stuff, give him a call and he'll get it out to you as soon as he can. Our second sponsor is F&T Fur Harvesters Trading Post. Everything you need for trapping, hunting with hounds, and predator calling. Guys, if you're into trapping fur, hunting fur, chasing fur with dogs, you're not going to be able to think of hardly anything that you can't get from F&T. You can reach them at fntpost.com. You can also give them a call at 989-727-8727. Whatever you want, F&T's got it. Blue Ridge Outdoor Supplies. Scott Payne is the owner of this business. He's in Elkton, Virginia. He also has a lure line, Mountain Rebel Lures and Baits. He's got a great coyote trapping video. He's also a fur buyer in Virginia. Anything that you're looking for and your trapping needs, give Scott a call and he'll get it right out to you. Wildlife Control Supplies, proven solutions for wildlife control, delivering value, expertise, and products to the wildlife individual. If you're an ADC business, control business, even fur trapping, you need to look at these guys' website. Top-notch company, have everything you would want, even the odd stuff that ADC guys are looking for. You can reach them at wildlifecontrolsupplies.com. You can give them a call at 877-684-7262. International number is 860-844-0101. If you're a wildlife control professional, you need to have Wildlife Control Supplies as one of your favorites on your computer or your phone, because when you come across something that you need specialized equipment, Alan will get it right out to you.
Now let's go trapping.
See, I'm a flag flying, Bible toting son of a gun. Yeah, I'm hell on the heart, just a rebel on the run. Scared, don't know it. Fear, don't feel it. The truth is the light. Sometimes you gotta fight. Good beats bad, right beats wrong. I'm a barroom preacher and this is my song. I'm climbing for the top, representing for the country. I'm the people's champ, right out to dig. Shotgun toter, Republican voter, Hank Jr. supporter, let's protect our border. To hell with anyone who don't believe in the USA, cause this is what I say.
I won't back up, I don't back down. I've been raised up to stand my ground. Take my job, but not my guns. Tax my check till I ain't got...
Okay, this is Clint Locklear with Trapping Across America. I'm with Norm. He is grinning from ear to ear because he thinks he's going to nail me on something tonight, and I told him to take his best shot because my retribution can be swift, and it can be very brutal, and it can last a long time. We're down in the great state of Texas where men are men and the trap line has kicked our butt.
Absolutely.
So what do you... So you're going to be the interviewer again.
Okay.
So you're going to ask questions.
So I like that because, you know, you're not putting me on the spot.
If that's the way you think this is going to go, okay.
Well, you opened the door with, you know, we're down here in Texas. School's over. Unfortunately, we've been taking the school this year a little bit. The animals are not cooperating. A lot of it, they're just not here. They've changed habits because of different things going on the ranch. Let's start out with guys that are interested that are trapping out of state. You know, let's cover, you know, equipment. You know, some of the tragedies that we've went through and stuff. So,
well, guys that want to trap out of state, that's kind of a tough one because you don't want to. I feel like I don't want to scare somebody from trying this. It's a different lifestyle. And we've had some discussions since you've been down here. It's a lot different than squirrel trapping and bat trapping.
Absolutely. A lot different than ADC work.
And it's there's a lot of mindset to it, but there's, you know, you have the dream of what a long line is or going out of state and doing this, and you have these expectations of numbers, and it's the grass is always greener, even in a state like Texas where there's no grass, and everything's just going to be great. And you play this out in your mind almost like a movie, and at the end you're going to get the pretty girl.
Yeah,
but reality,
total opposite. Get the ugly chick.
Yeah. Reality is your truck's in the shop.
Yes.
With 1 to 3 injectors have to be fixed. Jen had flat tires the first morning.
Yep.
On her four-wheeler. Albert has blown up a Polaris. Then yesterday I get a phone call from Albert where he blew out the front end of his Dodge truck. Matt comes from Australia. He's got flat tires within 24 hours.
Yes.
And I don't know what they're going to do about the slime on the rental car. But at least it's working. I've been sick. I've got, I don't know what it is, some type of congestive cold where I can't breathe.
And we have a cure for that, but you refuse to take it.
Yeah, I ain't. No. One of the elderly Mexicans here has said that the ultimate cure for sinus or cold is to boil down coon fat, then pour it up your nose. No, I'm not doing that.
I would love to film that. I think everybody would like to see that.
Yeah, I'm going to try to pay him to do it, but I ain't doing it. And then I ran a mesquite thorn into my thigh where I'm finally now, after a week, I don't have to feel like look like I'm going to the bathroom every time I get off from a set because my leg's not hurting so bad. It's been a different thing. I mean, you know, every vehicle but mine in the rental car is down.
Yes, right now.
Yeah, right now. I mean, what do? You know, you can cry. That's just part of it. You know, I've lost total transmissions. I blew out clutches. I thought I'd been smart one time and flat set a coyote that was peeing on my tire on my truck on one of these ranches, and it tore the under fender and the taillights out of my truck. I've broken windshields. I've tore off mirrors. It's just insane. I mean, when you go out of state, the reality is a little rougher.
Oh, absolutely. Could you imagine trying to do all this by yourself?
It's the way I used to do it.
I would recommend anybody who wants to try this, though, get a buddy. Get somebody to come with you. You can share the misery and the pain together.
That makes it too easy, though.
Yeah.
But, you know, beyond that, I mean, we've been hammering on these animals on this ranch. And this year, we knew in about 10 days we were in trouble.
Yes.
Now, for us to run the school here, we had to do a commitment for 30 days.
Yes, we did.
That was part of our deal with the ranch. So now we're like trying to chase 3 animals over 20,000 acres just to have something to do. And there's nothing we can do about it. You found out the ranch you're going to afterwards, Greg, what's his name? Hogsart?
Yeah. Houston
from Mississippi, a student from ours at the other ranch you're going to this year, squirreled his way in there and has taken 70 cats off of that ranch. So you're getting ready to go to a dead zone again.
Again, you know, which is the lowest thing a trapper could possibly do, is to steal a piece of property from somebody. That's just like taking animals out of your traps or stealing traps. That's just a low thing to do.
And people wonder why guys don't do instruction because of that right there.
Exactly.
So,
yeah, he should definitely feel ashamed of himself.
But it's neither here nor there. Unfortunately, that's the reality of choosing this lifestyle. I mean, you got the vehicles, you get sick. We've had 2 days we've had to sit here and look at each other inside the common area there because it's rained. We're not allowed on the roads.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just been insane. And this is
close. You're a little grumpy on top of that when you don't feel well. You're not really a pleasant guy to be around.
No.
Being away from home and sick, I mean,
sorry,
that is terrible.
Sorry, man, I still love you, but yeah, I probably was a little grumpy.
Yeah. Yeah, just a little.
You can't walk and breathe, and you ain't catching no fur. Yeah, you get a little grumpy.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's like the vehicles break down, flat tires, and just one thing after another hits you. But on the upside, last year we had a phenomenal year. Mm-hmm. And every trapper goes through that. You know, we caught 173, I think it was, cats. This year we're not going to get close to that. But
are we going to break 50?
We're going to break 50 one way or the other, I hope. You know, but you got to take the good with the bad. It doesn't matter how good you are, you're always going to have bad times. But for guys that want to come down and start doing some of the stuff, some of the things they need to start thinking of is obviously the breakdowns and have extra money put away for that and prepare. How do you feel about maps?
Well, apparently some guys have tried to Google map this and it's not there. The ranch, the only map I've ever seen of this is on the Reisinger. Which, unless you're in the Jeep or Polaris like me or Albert, you've never seen the Reisinger because you'd never make it out of there because of the sand.
Right.
So, I think maps are great, but very few places down here are going to give you one.
Well, if they're in a different part of the country, maps would be a good thing to help you get around, maybe scout out area, Google Maps,
and, mm-hmm.
Train maps, things like that. GPSs.
I think they're good. I don't use them. I'm afraid. I'll be honest. I'm afraid. I have used them.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm afraid if I get, I guess, reliant on them, my brain won't work as well. Like I can, and I've always had a good memory. So, like, even though I'm on three different pastures in two different ranches, I can walk you through from here to where every one of my traps at is in my head.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I feel if I don't do that, then you just don't think as much.
Right, you're relying on something, and when it goes down, you're kind of...
Yeah, I mean, if it goes down, I mean, good grief, if a bird flies by a cell tower down here, your phone shuts off. I can imagine what a GPS would do, because it all looks the same, you know. And, you know, if you're coming to a ranch like this for the first time, what I normally do when I get on a ranch, and some of these are hard to do because apparently a straight road is illegal. So I try to find wherever the main road is. Most ranches will have one road at least to go from front to back. So I'll start down that road, and every side road I'll just start going off of, and then when I run out of whatever I'm looking for, I'll run back to the main road and I'll make like a Christmas tree. There's a lot of deadhead in doing that, but I don't get lost.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, guys that are gonna attempt this kind of thing, what about a backup plan?
That's interesting, because you're getting ready to get into one.
Yes.
You know, the thing about plans, when you're in the military, you learn about planning in a very different manner. Most people set a goal, like say, we're going to come catch bobcats, and we want 100 bobcats or 50 bobcats or 10 bobcats, whatever it is, doesn't make any difference. In the military, the way that you set goals is more like a tree. Or when you plan a mission, you set it like a tree. So you know your starting point, and you know your ending point, And then every time you come to a possible truck breakdown, that's a different branch. Bobcats aren't here, that's a different branch. You get sick, that's a different branch. So in the military, the way that we were taught to think about, that's part of the reason I can switch so easily, because the Army's very unorganized and we had to do it all the time. So if you say you jump into an area and your radio man gets hurt, what do? Well, you plan that before you ever jump. If your LT gets hurt or killed or injured, and all three of those are different, what do you do about it? So you plan that out that way. So this tree or this plan, well, when it comes to trapping, you got a starting point when you leave the house.
Mm-hmm.
It depends on what your goal is on the end. And since you've jumped off in the full time living the dream fur trapping, coming down here, it's to make money.
Right.
So it's not, I just want to catch bobcats, or I just want to catch coyotes, or I just want to catch coons. It's what's going to, it's going to allow you to get to that point on the other end. Well, what we found out on this ranch is the hunters have been slaying bobcats and coyotes. So they're ghosts. They don't live here anymore.
Right.
So they're not here. Well, we're getting a bounty on coon. So I know somebody with no hair that used to be red went out and started setting a bunch of DPs.
Right.
Because the cats aren't here. So we go out and we make our money the other way. You're going to get in the freer where they're giving you a bounty.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to do the same thing. Because if he took 70 cats, which I believe he did, we took 100 there last year. That's 170 cats within a 365-day span. You're not going to have cats running all over the place.
No.
So you can't sell coyotes, but they do give you a bounty. And you can sell coon, and they're giving you a bounty. So from someone that has lived this lifestyle a while, you just got to be able to, on a dime, not what you want to do, not what you planned on doing, but to meet that end goal of making a house payment, all of a sudden you came down here with all intentions of being a cat trapper, and on a dime, you're a coon trapper.
Right.
And there's no shame in that. That's just the situation we find ourselves in.
Yeah. Well, coon are not as sexy to catch as what the bobcats are. They don't look as good in pictures and everything, but it pays the bills. Now, with that being said, got to have a backup plan. That's kind of what ours is going to be at this point. You know, you're cutting out early this year because of prior commitments. And what about the equipment? If a man wants to come do this kind of stuff,
well, it's going to be different. Not everybody's going to want to come to Texas.
No.
But the biggest thing I can tell, advice I could give someone that's looking into state trapping, and I see it every year, when Bob Best and Nick Bauer came down here to coon trap with me that one year. Now, Bob Best was in his 80s. Nick Bowers was bumping 70. I mean, they're good trappers. They're in great shape. They brought more gear than all of us together.
Wow.
To trap. If a trap broke, he had a welder to weld it. If he needed any size wire, he had three rolls as backup. It was literally a full-size truck in a trailer, looked like the Beverly Hillbillies, to come down and never run more than realistically maybe 120 traps,
mm-hmm.
DPs. Now, someone that's been doing this a long time could have did everything they did in a two totes.
Right.
You know, sure, you're going to have some stretchers, and you're going to have skin and stuff, and you're going to have really whatever you need. But most guys that they fall for the movie version of being a professional trapper, and they bring all this crap they never use, mm-hmm. and it's always in their way. Or they set a goal that they're going to set, quote, 100 traps, 200 traps, or 300 traps. And if you find yourself in a situation like this, it took us about 14 days, or me, 14 days to figure out how the animals were moving, because this ranch was putting so much pressure on them. Coyotes weren't acting like coyotes. Bobcats, what are still here, are not acting like bobcats. Coons are scared to death of the feeders. I mean,
yeah, I've never been somewhere where you set DPs and stuff on feeders, and you can see footprints and everything on these feeders, the way they're designed. But you can't catch a coon there to save your life.
Well, I mean, since we've been here, we found out that they've been giving the kill order to all the ranch hands. So now it's a game to them to go shoot at the feeders.
Yeah.
Well, the dumb coons are dead. The smart coons have been off in the brush going, that ain't the smartest place to go. So they're not going there. And when they go there, just like the coyotes are not walking these roads, they're in stuff that cats have a hard time getting through. They just change their habit. I mean, they really have. So you've got to, you know, you've got to adjust. And if you would have, if you'd have brought all this stuff, or you would have been, had this mindset, because I just had some friends that went out of state and they had a goal of setting 200 traps.
Right.
Not 199, not 201, 200. And come hell or high water, they were going to set 200. Now imagine if we would have set 200 traps here, not counting the fence snares, but 200 traps. And then like 14 days into it, we realized we got 200 traps that are off location because animals aren't doing what the animals are supposed to do.
Well, that'd been a nightmare. You'd been out there picking up and moving and, you know, twice the work.
You know, and really, what do you need, honestly? You know, everybody talks about setting 100 traps in a day. That's hogwash. A lot of people talk about setting 60. There's some people that can do it if they gang set. If you come to an area and it's like a bobcat set where you got to do blocking and hang flags and stuff like that, you put out an honest to goodness 35 sets a day, you killed yourself. Unless you're just setting them right next to each other.
Yeah.
If you're going to go hunt for bobcats, you're not going to be running 300 traps. I don't see how.
So try to keep your numbers realistic on what you honestly think you can do.
And your equipment realistic.
Yeah, and then the equipment as well. But you do need to have some equipment in case you do have to switch gears.
Well, and you need to be proficient at making something do double work. You know, if, like last year, we used a lot of body grips down here.
Yeah.
I know you and Albert brought it, even though y'all said you weren't, but y'all did. Now, you could switch those over to coons. You're not going to catch a deer in one. They're legal to set down here. Take them out of the fence, go catch raccoons. Because the fence ain't producing nothing. We got 79 miles of fence. I caught a coyote today. Did you catch anything in the fence?
I caught a jackrabbit.
So that's Jen's too.
Yep.
Albert didn't catch anything in the fence, and Matt didn't catch anything in the fence. So we probably got 450 snares out spread over a net of 79 miles, and we caught one mangy-looking coyote.
Yeah.
So the fence didn't work.
No.
So, you know, that's normally the golden egg down here. And the reason I knew that was going to become an issue, because I heard Jen saying, I'm catching coyotes by the front foot. Well, as soon as she said that, I knew what was going on. The coyotes know the snare's there. They know the fence is a danger area, and they're going up pawing at the snare till it closes, and they go through. They've learned if they can close the snare, it's no danger.
Right. Well, when we got here, we found burn circles. We found other snares in the fence. So now you got ranch hands that are educating the animals year-round.
And plus, they were bragging about how many coyotes and cats they were killing out of helicopters.
Yes.
I mean, this is close. If you wanted to make a video on realistic, getting kicked in the nuts trapping, this would be the trip.
Oh, it would have.
I mean, it it's just reality. You know, the season we had last year, if you're lucky, you get that once every 3 years. Realistically, it's probably once every 5 years. You know, you just don't get that's. Life won't let you do that. And it don't matter how good you are or how determined you are, you know, you're not going to walk 79 miles of fence while your truck's getting fixed.
No.
It's not going to happen.
Trappers don't talk about that. When you don't see that in a video.
Yeah.
Our reality is not in a video. It's not written anywhere. That's kind of swept under the rug. Nobody talks about it.
Well, I think a lot of trappers that are in the public... See, I can say this gently, because, you know, I always say things gently.
Oh, yeah, you're a very tactful guy.
Most trappers are so egotistical that they would be afraid that if someone found out they had a bad day, a bad week, or a bad season, that someone would make fun of them.
Well, that was
or it would hurt sales.
Yeah.
Or it would do something. So they run away from that, and they go back to, we caught 173 cats last year. Well, yeah, we spent that money already as professional trappers, you know.
Yeah.
We're going to be doing good to come out of this on fur and hopefully break even.
That's going to be tough.
Well, it would be. I mean, but we have other things we're doing for money.
Right.
You know, so,
right.
You know, that's another thing. I try to get money from the ranches. We try to get bounties. We try to do fur. We try to do instruction or schools. We try to do all this other stuff. And people are always, you know, thinking for some reason I've got more money than I've got. And most of that's in self-defense because I've been through this before.
Yeah.
You know. If it wasn't for some of this, you'd have a hard time paying for your truck.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, poor Albert. I mean, he.
Oh, yeah.
What he pulled down here broke, and what he pulled it with broke.
Yeah.
He's 1,800 miles away from home.
Yeah. And it's tough. When things like that happen, you get kicked in the teeth. It is tough to have a positive attitude. You know, and that's some of the conversation we had this week, because I was ready to throw my hands in the air. I mean, I have to apologize.
I was not as tactful on those.
No. Not at all. But, you know, and it is, because when things get that bad, it's time to cut and go switch gears. But, like you said, we were obligated for 30 days. There was no walking away. So you just had to suck it up. And that's easier said than done.
It is, but the selfish part of you does. They you know, if we were just here fur trapping, within 10 days we'd have been somewhere else.
Yes.
But when you're doing it as a business and you give a business your word, sometimes you win and sometimes the ranch wins. And the ranch is winning this time. Because, I mean, there's just no money.
Right.
You know, and there's nothing you can do about it. So, you know, when you learn, you do enough of these trips. I mean, I've had trips in Louisiana where I go out and sit on the rivers. And then I sit there watching like channel 3 and 12, because that's all I had in the camper for 2 weeks, because all my traps are 40 foot underwater. What are you going to do? I mean, you can get mad about it. You can cry about it. You know, your wife can tell you, you know, it'll get better one day type thing on the phone, but it's just what it is. And this year is just what it is, and it sucks.
Yeah, the best thing, you know, I would get depressed. There's just no two ways. You know, you're checking traps, truck broke, all this stuff. And one thing made it better. I could always call Jeff Dunlap. And he always had a story that, you know, just made you feel better that you either wasn't there or you wasn't him at the time, you mm-hmm. know.
Trust me, it can get worse.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, if my Jeep would have broke down, Albert couldn't have got parts.
Yeah.
If Matt wouldn't have come over from Australia and my Jeep was broke down, we'd have been pushing your truck 20 miles into Crizzo Springs.
Yeah.
I mean, it can get worse.
It could.
I mean, someone could get shot, rattlesnake bit,
mm-hmm.
you know.
And they're out now. I mean, we're seeing them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know, you've seen some on your line. I've seen some on mine.
But, you know, your attitude, if anybody out there wants to live the dream that Norm is now living, to be a professional trapper where it's just all lollipops and unicorn farts that smell like money, you mentally do have to be tough. And as soon as you feel the panic start or the depression start or you start feeling sorry for yourself, You almost like need a taser. As soon as you feel it, you just lay yourself out. You cannot allow that to do that, because what happens, you start getting depressed, you start slowing down, you start worrying about everything, and it's out of your control. Because when you leave on one of these trips, and this is what I told you the other day, mm-hmm. you can worry all you want to. You're going to make whatever you're going to make. Your truck's going to break as much as it's going to break. There's nothing's gonna change any bit of that. The only thing you can change is what you can change your course on to try to make more money at whatever situation you find yourself into. Because you start getting negative, you start setting less traps, you don't primp the fence, mm-hmm. you don't start looking for sign, you don't start doing any of that stuff, And before long, even if their animals show up again, you've got such a bad line out, it ain't gonna do no good.
Right.
You know, and you don't, and then sometimes you start getting depressed and you don't think, well, if this isn't working, let's go to this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's, and to me, when these years happen, like today, I had a really good time after lunch.
Right.
I mean, a really good time after lunch. Will was with Matt, so I'm by myself, which you say I'm antisocial, but I like being out here by myself. And I'm playing around with those portable pockets, and I'm trying different presentations. I'm even going low-key on Bobcats, trying to figure that out.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, if I figure something out, even though this year has been hard and it forced me to try to figure something out, I've got that experience, and I've got that education that's going to last me until I can't trap anymore.
Well, that is true. I mean, and we've seen that tonight. You know, we went out and filmed two catches that you made today on the pipe sets with coyotes.
Mm-hmm.
And one was, an excellent, just a crossroads and an average set. And the other one, you were 20-plus yards off the road, down a little goat trail that, and under a tree. Which are bush.
That's where the coyote tracks were.
And there ain't nobody in their right mind would set a coyote trap there.
Well, it's because the coyote told me to.
Yeah, exactly. Now, because of the situation, they're not traveling the main roads. They're not traveling like they normally do. This little gully with a, hell of a ditch on one side,
mm-hmm.
And a tall bank on the other side. I mean, it's just not something you would look for. So if you wasn't out there doing that, you'd have never found that.
Well, and that's something, like I said, I've been through this, I've got this t-shirt in several colors and in several sizes. So when something doesn't seem right, or you do something that always works,
mm-hmm.
And I can tell you right now, me and Albert are pulling our hair out on this new ranch.
Mm-hmm.
It's right next to this one. The cats could care less what we're doing this year. I mean, they could care less. And since Albert's truck was broke, he was riding around with us. So we're kind of like looking at each other's sets and stealing ideas from each other. And I can tell he did not like that idea at all, because he's got some stuff out there he's never showed me.
Right.
When I'm driving, it's tough luck, Albert. I'm going to see it. So we had to go check his sets. Well, I've got a set in a beautiful draw. I've got the flag, I've got the eye peel, I've got the chute, I've got the perfect blocking, I've got the big pan trap, I've got everything, I've got what I've caught all these bobcats on with lure, everything that I've always done is the same. In three mornings in a row, Will's riding with me, the cameraman, and he looks out at that same one and goes, yep, there's that cat again, and it's coming out of a draw, it's going on the other side of my set on the other side of the road. It never breaks stride. I don't even think that little peckerhead's looking at it. I mean, it's like he's turning his head. He won't even slow down.
Well, that's insulting.
It is. It really is. So now I'm like going, well, if that ain't working for whatever reason now, and it could be our weather's been weird. This year it's been really weird. We're starting to see cats that already have nipples that possibly could have already milked.
Yes.
Now, it's way too early for that. They should be breeding either now or a week ago or a week before that. That's when they always breed.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that didn't happen this year because these females got bred probably about 70 days ago, which is out of whack.
Yeah.
So we're not used to trapping cats this far after the breeding season. And obviously, it's changed their mind on what they like.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking, well, what we're doing is not working. But it's really easy, I think. I've caught so many cats with that style set. In my mind, it works. Catches cats, catches most cats, doesn't miss very many cats. My mind knows that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's easy just to keep pounding them things in, even though the animals are going, we ain't playing that game.
Right.
But the trapper goes, this is a good set, this is a good location, and it doesn't work. So to be a lot better trapper, you've got to reevaluate and you got to start trying different things. And that's what I'm trying. And I may not even figure it out on this trip.
Right. It's a good possibility.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, this comes to part the little more sensitive area.
Okay.
Okay. I'm going to ask you a question. Don't shoot the messenger. I've heard this quite a bit on Facebook. I know that you've heard it yourself and things, okay?
Do I need to take my gun off?
Yeah, I forgot that you even was wearing one because I don't see it. So, yeah, this could be even dangerous. All right, what I'm going to come out with is the Alcatraz.
Okay.
Okay. Bar none, at that point in time in your life, that was a good trap.
Caught lots of coon with it.
And you did. Did you not make a video or something with it?
Yeah.
Okay. At that time, you ranted and raved, said that was the best trap on the market. You felt that it was great and everything worked good.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. As time progressed, okay, you got involved with the Freedom Brand trap. The DP number one, I think they're calling it now.
I tested it for F&T or yeah. QSR.
Yes. Yes. Okay. Guys are hating it. Some guys are loving it. Some guys are hating it. I'm hearing more bad than good. So, you know, we're getting guys saying that
you're talking about the FB1.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. They can't get it to stay set. If they set it, it won't fire. Guys are talking about them freezing up, getting dirty and not working, taking them out of the box, put them in the ground, and the trap's not working. Okay. What is your reply to this?
Well, the reason, I mean, there's several reasons in not to get in a Wolf Creek Products bass incession here.
Exactly.
Because I will start shooting the ceiling or something, so I'm not going to go there.
Yep, we don't need to do that.
Once the issue started coming out with the Alcatraz, the way that it was being built, I was disgusted.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you put your name with something and it just stuff's out of your control and you don't like it. So I started looking around, and I'll be honest with you, I was getting ready to go back to Little Grizz because that's what I used pretty much before that. I knew the Duke was out, never used them, had faith in Little Grizz, caught thousands of coons with them. So I happened to be at a show, and Ralph up there goes, come up to QSR, we want to show you something. So this was before last year,
mm-hmm.
and they made me sign all this paperwork that I couldn't talk about it, this, that, and the other, but they gave me six of these traps. And from a design point of view, I was highly impressed. You know, I tinker and come up with stuff all the time, and it was impressive. So I brought it down here last year. I used it the whole time we were in Texas because by then it was getting late, and I fell in love with the trap.
Okay.
The traps I were using were, I'm not going to say cruder, but they were a little bit cruder than the finished product you have now because those were prototypes.
Mm-hmm.
And I played around with them and I got them working. And like I said, my catch ratio was higher than it's ever been. So I'm like, this is a cool trap. You know, it sets easy. It's got a push-pull trigger. Coon are getting caught very, very well in it. And
let me stop you just a second. How important do you feel that push-pull trigger is in a DP? Realistically.
I think the pull is way more important.
Okay.
I think the pull is way more important.
All right.
But it may catch some extra coon. I don't know. I don't know how you would test for such a thing.
Not sure. Most of the time your bait's under the trigger and the animal's actually trying to pull, I would say. So.
Well, the only way I would know that someone could test that, if you could take a push-pull trap and disengage the pull part where, you know, they could pull all they wanted to and it wouldn't fire until they pushed and see if you still caught coon. I mean, I really don't know.
Right.
Well, getting back to the FB1s.
Yes.
I'm 100% sold on that trap, personally. But I will say a few things that some trappers are not going to like. Anytime that anything is new or different, mm-hmm. trappers automatically don't like it. It doesn't matter what it is. When the Little Grizz came out, people don't remember this very well, but I had like 2.5 years where I would go to Iowa and there wasn't a soul knew what they were unless they were a convention person. In a state like Iowa, everybody stubbed their nose, said it won't work. It's not going to fire. It's going to freeze. You're going to get coon damage because it's not as thick as a jaw. The whole industry for a long time was just didn't like it.
Okay.
So these other traps started coming out when the little grizz couldn't keep up with production. I mean, there was like a mass grouping all of a sudden. You had the Alcatraz, the Z-Trap, the Dagger, Dukes.
Mm-hmm.
And they were all somewhat similar. I mean, they were all trying to, you know, it was to fill a void. You know, the reason I started building the Alcatraz is I couldn't get the grizz. And that was something, the first one, I still have one of them in the shop. It was built in my shop, and you've seen me do metal work.
That's not good.
It's really not, but it caught coon, mm-hmm. you know. And I'm like, well, heck, if it's catching coon and no one can get these things. But I wasn't the only one thinking that, apparently. You know, several other guys was thinking it. And it was working out really well for me. Well, I couldn't have my name. I'm trying not to have my name associated with the Alcatraz anymore, just because some of the stuff with the trap that I can't swallow. They gave me this one. I brought it down. I really liked it. Trappers don't like anything new. I don't care what it is. If you came out with a better foothold trap that didn't look like any foothold trap that's ever been seen, and it worked 10 times better, it'd be 3 or 4 years before trappers accepted it. That's just the way they are.
Mm-hmm.
And with this one, it is radically different. The difference between this, and I'm not going to say trappers need to be educated on it, because I'm not sure that's the right word.
No, that's not the right word.
Well, it is in a way, because a grizz, a duke, Z-traps are a little more sophisticated, and the daggers are a little more sophisticated. But anything based off a grizz trap, that is a very basic functioning type thing that is very loose. You don't get to really do anything with it, just the way it comes out of the box. And it's designed that it will catch coon coming out of the box.
That's the industry standard.
That is the industry standard. What Quay did at QSR is he brought a high-performance machine into the equation. Now, you can go buy a Keith Black 500 motor and stick it in behind an Allison 6-speed and put it in a car, and it's probably not going to do what it's supposed to do. You bought the best, but you've got to tune it. It's just like any hot rod.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is. They are more complicated the way that they're made. There's no question about that.
Okay.
It runs off a cam system. It runs off a dogless design that's very similar to the old Montgomery foothold traps. That part alone, trappers understand, just the way that it hooks over that thing. Then you get in the other part, and you got all these parts you don't see on a Duke or a Grizz or anything else. You know, they set it, and it sets easy, and it's nice, and they're looking at it, and they're going, I don't know. Because it is like a race car. And it truly is like a race car. When you get them out of the box, and QSR told me this when they started making them, these are not like a standard dog-proof trap. They need to be tuned and adjusted to get exactly what you want out of it. And I didn't quite grasp that at the beginning, because I'm used to grabbing a Grizz, and it will set, and it will always fire.
Right.
Because it is that crude of a thing. But the thing is, you're stuck with whatever it is. And I've never liked that about those traps. So I got a email one day that F&T sends out. And they put a video up on QSR. And Quaid showed how to tune the trap. And it's still, if you go to QSR Outdoors, it's on there. And he shows, if you want it to be push harder, you do this. If you want it to fire faster, you do this. If you want less motion for the trigger to pull, you do this. Because believe it or not, on a mass scale, what me or you believe, out of 10,000 trappers, there's going to be a certain percentage. Just like I always hear beaver snaremen go, I want a slow snare. And I'm sitting there with my eyes crossed going, what? But if you built a snare that was only fast, those guys would be very unhappy, because somewhere they were taught that you need a slow snare for a beaver on dry ground. You're shaking your head. I can't believe you never heard it. It's all over Forbes. I still see it every now and then.
Really? I've never heard that. I would never want one myself. but okay.
So you've got this Freedom brand trap, and it is, if you think of it like you would a foothold trap, which is the way it was explained to me, you don't take, unless it's a very high end or something like a 550 that is designed to be perfect out of the box.
Mm-hmm.
You take that trap and you tighten the bolt and you file the back of the pan down and you square off your dog and you adjust the pan height the way you want it and you make sure the levers are not tweaked to one side or the other, what every trapper does when they get new traps. That's what is kind of expected with this trap. And that may seem like a negative. And to some people it will. I have no doubt about that.
Yeah.
But it's like I said, it's like a race car. You start tuning that thing and you start playing with the gas and the air and you start doing things, you can take that trap where there is zero movement to fire it and almost zero pressure to fire it, and it'll stay set with a coon playing with it.
Okay.
And that's what I like about it.
I haven't seen that yet.
We're going to do a video with it tomorrow.
Right.
You know, I'm going to show you how to do it.
You're going to show me how to do that, because my first impression was pretty much like everyone else. You know, it didn't always set every time you squeezed it. You had to make sure that that little half moon thing was flat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, again, something totally different. Now, guys are talking about the freezing part on this trap. Is that...
I was using them when it was 0 degrees and I didn't see freezing. I do not trap in Minnesota or whatever. To me, water's going to have to be on the trap for it to freeze. It's not a temperature thing.
Mm-hmm.
So if water's on the trap, regardless if it's a FB1 or a Duke, surely the goodness, the trapper cares enough about his own line that when he sees ice on a trap, he'll fire the trap off, break the ice, and reset the trap. Because metal and metal with ice is going to stick. And I know what you've showed me, well, there's more metal touching in this.
Right.
That may be true. I haven't seen it. But I have no doubt there's problems. The one that I know doesn't make any sense. If it's dirty or you get mud on it, it won't set. Because this black mud down here.
Yes.
It's worse than any red clay. It's worse than anything I've seen in the country short of Montana and stuff, what they call gumbo.
Yeah.
And when I catch these coon down in these creek bottoms and they get to the water, when I was taking pictures of the first time using the trap last year, I was actually trying to scrape mud off of it just so you could see it wasn't a Duke or a Gris.
Mm-hmm.
It was nothing but a ball of mud. Now, I had to take my screwdriver and, like, clean out between the springs and all that type stuff, just like you have to do on a Duke.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing set and I recaught. The only thing that I found personally, that if you got certain type of mud like this down here that goes from soft to rock hard in a matter of 24 hours, is there's a hood over the dog part that hooks on the plate of the FB1. So it's not open like the old Montgomery's. It does have a hood because that's where the nut and bolt is on the trap. So if you allow mud to go in there and you throw it in the back of the truck and wait till it hardens, it's not going to allow that dogless part to pivot. And
okay.
It's a very complicated thing to get out. Take a screwdriver or a pocket knife and you just sweep it and it's done. But as far as any other functioning part of that trap, I can't tell where mud matters at all. There's guys on YouTube that's heard that so much they've got mad, and I've posted some of their videos on Wolfer Nation where they take a trap in really red clay and mud and gunk and they just ball it up and set the trap, and the next day there's a coon in it.
Mm-hmm. So it's just going to be a little bit more higher maintenance than what guys are used to.
Yeah, I mean, it's like I said, you can... If you want the performance, yes. You know, if you don't want the performance, they got an FB2. It's just like a Grizz or a Duke.
Now that's something that just come out this year.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, I've got a chance to play with, I only got two of them from you because you're greedy and don't like to share. First night I set them, I noticed right out, you know, again, basically out of the box. And if anybody gets around your boxes, they know they're not clean.
Mm-hmm.
Or organized. But, everything was very square. You could set that within a 16th of an inch.
Yeah, they
and it holds.
You know, that's the difference of QSR. When they brought in Quade, he's an engineer. Mm-hmm. And he draws this stuff out on a computer, and he plays with leverage before he starts playing with metal. And like you're saying, the leverage on this seems to be more spot on than a lot of the other traps. Like a Grizz, you can get it half in, half out of the notch, and it'll work most of the time to get less tension on the trigger.
Mm-hmm.
And then some of the other traps, you can't do that because they all just flat fire.
Yes. I've got some of those, and that has happened.
Yeah. Well, he's played with that leverage apparently enough, or got lucky. I don't know which one it is. But you can run that almost up to the very tip and have it lightning fast.
Yes.
You know, and to me that was pretty amazing. Like I said, I don't know if it was planned, which I, knowing him, it was, or he just was very lucky and very lucky. But the leverage on the trap seems better. Besides that, in the base of it, instead of having a spike or the bars or whatever, like the Grizz or the Duke, it's got the same as the FB2, so you can use it in the bracket or on the drags or on a tree or whatever you want to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only difference.
And I did find that a little bit more difficult to put in the ground here because the ground here is so hard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Duke, you can kind of, you know, take that spike and wiggle it back and forth and get it pressed in. That's the only thing I've seen on that trap that, and it's not a negative. It's just the ground that we're in here.
Well, see, I've never used the Duke, so I've never really played with it. I've seen Neil from Z-Trap playing with a sandbox at the conventions with them.
Yeah.
But I've never actually went out and trapped with a Duke. I'm sure they're a good trap, but I've never played with one. I can tell you this is a lot easier to go in this ground than a Grizz is.
Yeah.
You know, because I've done it for years, and it was always mm-hmm. a pain. You know, I almost come up with a tool just to beat in the ground first.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, with the new little Sabertooth Juniors they've got, which I don't know if they're on the market yet or not, but if you got really hard ground, you can set it on the drag.
Yeah.
You know, and my opinion, anybody goes to drags on dog proofs, you'll question your sanity for all these years, especially if you're staking. I don't know why anybody does that.
Less weight.
It is less weight, but it's also less energy. Even running those cables, it's quicker for me just to drop the drag and set the trap. I'm fat. I need all the help I can get.
I'm glad you said that. But anyway, using the two, definitely sold on that. Think it's a great trap. It's going to be actually cheaper, and this ain't a sales pitch, but I mean, it is going to be cheaper than the Dukes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's about $20 from what they say.
About $20 cheaper. You know, we've been down here now 3 weeks, going close to 4 weeks, and I'm real happy with that. I've had no complaints at all. It sets good. Fires. Yeah, I've never had it empty. You know, all the bait gone or anything like that. So, I mean, it has been working out well.
Well, I've got something coming out this summer that it's impossible for a coon to steal your bait.
You do?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, tell me about that.
I can't.
You can't. You're going to bring it up and just leave it out there and that's it.
That's just a teaser. But, yeah, I mean, it's going to be pretty revolutionary because that's always been the issue. You set something in a trap, and if you're driving by them, you don't know if the bait's gone or not. And you know, and if a coon steals your bait over the course of a year, how many thousands of dollars is that?
So well, not only okay. What about mice and
mice can't get it out.
Mice can't get it out either.
Mm-mm.
You know, we deal with that a lot of that down here with the rats and stuff. You know, they're everywhere. Okay, well, that might be interesting to see how that comes out.
So I'll tell you more, but I ain't come up with a big sexy name yet.
Oh, okay. I can't wait.
But, you know, getting back to that FB1, I think that's going to have a lot to do with personality. You know, if someone, it really depends on the trapper. If he wants as close to what I believe that I've seen so far in perfection in a trap and he's willing, to tune that thing. You know, like, I've got a habit. I do it with my CDRs. I used to do it with my Grizzes. I do it with the FB1s. The FB2s are so new, I haven't had to do it yet. But I don't know if you've noticed or not, I carry cooking spray in my Jeep.
Yeah.
On my CDRs, I always spray the rivets at the beginning of every trip, even if I do 5 trips a year, because the rivet is so tight. And it keeps rust from, because actually, a CDR, if you don't do that in these conditions, an animal can step on the trap, you'll come back the next day and the jaws ain't even finished closing yet. So, you know, you've got to keep that lubricated. And what I found on the Grizz is when you start gooping that thing up and you start getting corrosion, the trigger will move if you've got an 80-pound coon that can grab it with both hands and deadlift it. But it is that hard to pull up or push down or whatever you're trying to do to get the bait in and out. So I'd wiggle that thing back and forth, and I'd shoot it down at that time with WD-40.
Okay.
And since the FB1 has got a nut and bolt, and it's also got the same rod that the Grizz has got, or they all have, really, that the trigger spins on, I just want that lubricated.
Okay. Now, you think that would that silicone will mess with the mechanisms in that FB1?
No, I've used silicone. It works. No, what I'm talking about is a cooking spray.
Cooking spray.
Like you're going to cook eggs with.
Right. Now, well, it's got an oil, so dust and dirt's going to stick to it, is it not?
You know, you start playing with that stuff, it's like 10 times stronger than WD-40. It's the reason I don't want to eat it. When I crashed in my kayak down in the ocean, I had my Leatherman with me.
Yeah.
I forgot about it. I got back home, and I saw it in my fishing tackle box. I couldn't open the blades. I couldn't use the plier part. I mean, it was locked tighter than it could be. For 3 days, I soaked it with WD-40. And somewhere, I remember someone saying using cooking spray. So at this point, I didn't want to go buy another $70 Leatherman, so I sprayed it down with the Pam.
Okay.
Within 20 minutes, I could open any blade and use the pliers. So since that time, that's the reason I'm saying I don't know if I'd want to be eating that. Butter's better. Yeah. Because butter does not eat rust.
Well, that is true.
You know, so to me, but that was something I was doing back on the, even with the Grizzes, because if you just run traps for 2 weeks, it's not going to make any difference. You start running traps early, and then you finish in as late as we do down here, your equipment is in bad shape. And just spraying those down, that's a very simple, fast thing to do, and it's just cheap insurance.
Bad shape. Well, that's a good point, because me and Matt, the guy from Australia, after lunch, he needed some more traps. So he was over there digging in your trailer boxes, trying to find a pair of traps that even looked close to the same size. The ones that would fire and work and move, they had seen better days.
My traps work. They're that's what they're for.
Well, them are retired because you need to.
No.
Yeah,
they got experience.
Is that what that's called?
That's called experience.
You got dogs on traps over there that look like in the shape of a U.
They still work.
If you straighten out the dogs, right, as you go.
They still work.
Okay. Well, yeah, trap maintenance is on a long line like this when you start is obviously a big issue for everybody.
I mean, it's not as bad as it used to be when I was fur trapping straight for money. I mean, I would start in October, and I wouldn't finish till May.
You mean you didn't every month stop and boil your traps and dye them?
No. You ain't making no money boiling traps. I mean, you just need something that's going to catch an animal.
Right.
You know, and it's, you know, like Albert's is prettier than mine because he does that before he comes down here. You may have did the same thing. I haven't looked. It don't make a hill of beans in the animals.
I think I've got about a dozen or two dozen traps that are nice and pretty, and the rest of them are not.
Yeah, so, I mean, I didn't care. You know, KB's is a high-quality trap as that is. I always spray those down at the beginning of every trip on the rivets. because those are tight. And, you know, and that's like going back to FB1 and FB2 or the Grizz or Duke. Anything that's precision is tight. It's, you know, it's just like a really good AR-15 is not going to take dirt. It's not. It's going to shoot very well as long as it's clean. The Glock you're carrying, you can get dirtier than you can my Kimber.
Right.
Mine's got a lot more tire clearances. You know, we're going to argue on which one shoots better.
Right.
You know, but one is way more precision than the other one.
That's true. And I keep telling you, you need to switch over, but you're not coming along.
No. But, you know, it's just maintenance. The more precision like a CDR is, or a KB, or an FB1, or any type of trap like that, you're going to have to do more maintenance on it, just like you would a car. I mean, if you got a car that you never have to do maintenance on, it's probably running, but not very well, you know, unless it's brand new. But you get something you want to really make scream, you got to keep maintenance on it.
Well, that's definitely going to be hard for a lot of guys, and I think you're right. Some guys are not going to accept that. Now, I seen something before we come down here a month or so. You were talking about the FB2s that are, that are out on the market, and you were on the internet and you were talking back and forth, and I seen a guy that offered you a dozen of the FB1s for a half a dozen of the 2s.
He was just being a smart aleck. I just ignore them.
Yeah, I noticed you never did comment back to him on that. That could be a good financial trade there.
Well, I wouldn't care to. I mean, I wouldn't care at all. I mean, I've got 3 times the FB1s here as I do 2s.
Right. Yeah. I wish we had more 2s.
Well, I was kind of surprised that they let me have them. You know, really. Mm-hmm. So, I'm grateful for that. And I think it's a pretty good trap. But you know, it's just someone's going to come out with a different design dog proof, and it doesn't matter what it is. People, it's just in trappers' nature. They don't like it when it first comes out. They come up most of them. I mean, I had a guy on the internet tell me they had 3. Of the dog things out of a dozen traps rip off. Now I go out and I look at one. It's a 1/4-inch metal. No, he didn't. In his mind, he may have, and he may have heard it on another form, and then people start dogpiling.
Yeah.
That don't make it reality.
No. Well, look at last year, we come out with a cage trap that me and you both worked on and designed and stuff, and you know, a lot of guys that shows were looking at that, going, that ain't gonna work, that's just, it's, you know, that's too simple. It's just,
well, those are the kind of guys I like for my competition.
Oh yeah.
You know, I mean, and trapping's evolving faster than I think we realize.
Yeah.
You know, we caught two. You know, we were playing around when we were shooting the trapping TV stuff, and I talked about 3 myths. One of them is coyotes are scared of steel. Your portable pockets are made of steel.
Yes, they are.
They're above ground. I got food in them. And the coyotes are still getting caught. So if they're afraid of steel, explain that one.
Exactly.
The second one is big traps hurt animals. Yeah, in your chair they do, but they don't out here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but people still believe that, and they're not going to get off of it. The other one is you can't take a coyote into cover. I had to trim bushes on my knees to set the trap. I mean, you saw it.
Yeah, I did.
And people will be able to see that on Trapping TV when it comes out. That's where the tracks were at.
Mm-hmm.
That coyote wasn't afraid to be under that bush.
That's where the rabbits are going to be.
And if I'd have moved it out in the road, the way they're running across these roads scared for their life, he ain't going to stop and work a trap.
No.
So, you know, but people believe that, and they always believe it. And then the most of that comes because someone else says something. And regardless if it's an FB1 or a Norm's CG6, whatever that could be or whatever,
yeah.
Somebody's going to say something because they don't like it. And then someone's going to repeat it, and then someone's going to repeat it. And before long, there's 100 people saying it, and only one of them's ever touched the trap.
Exactly.
And that's just a reality in it. I mean, there's no way to get around that. And the internet's, I mean, great for tribalism. when it comes to stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if someone doesn't want to use one, try a different trap. It didn't make any difference to me.
Yeah. One quick little plug, I guess, before we call it a night. Me and you have been working on a new design trap that we hope to have out this year. For otter and beaver.
Oh. Yeah, I was panicking there. I was like, I didn't know we was building a trap.
Yeah. And we also are going to be having a spray-proof skunk trap ADC.
So you worked that out already?
Then. I did. It's not on the market at this time, but shortly after we get back, we'll start getting those, and I'll get you some prototypes of that. And I know you don't play with skunks, but you can play with it.
Well, I know on Trapping TV, they're going to see... like this, what is that now, the third generation of trying to figure that damn thing out?
Yes.
The third generation, we're getting ready to go on the fourth generation, and mm-hmm. and then we'll test that and see what it does, you know. But I think we've got it figured out, you know. Nothing's ever obvious. I guarantee you, anybody wants to come up with something for trapping and they think they know what's going to work, go use it, and the animals will show you something you weren't expecting.
Absolutely.
In our case, the water showed us something we weren't expecting.
Yes. Literally. I mean, that just, you know, how do you take crystal clear water and find dirt?
It did.
Yeah.
I mean, I still caught stuff in it, but it's, I think it hurt us, you know, so we're going to adjust from that. And, you know, anybody that's playing around with different things, I mean, really test them out. Because if you don't, you're going to be embarrassed down the road.
Absolutely.
Because nothing I've ever played with works the way I thought it would. Because the original design on the cat thing, that didn't work.
No.
And the original idea on the coon trap was a disaster.
Absolutely.
You know, and you start just working through the problem.
Yeah.
But if you would have set it home and go, I know that'll work, and you go out in your shop and build them, and you start handing them out to people.
You're going to get a lot of upset people.
Yeah, you're not going to be in business very long.
No.
And when people start saying stuff's not going to work and you know it does, you got to have some tough skin about it. You know, this is the way it is. Because
mm-hmm.
I guarantee you, there's going to be people that believe that you're not going to catch coyotes. No matter how many I show them on video.
Yeah.
With a metal pipe sticking above ground.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're scared of metal.
Yep. Absolutely. Now, we got that design. You got that design from LT Gray.
Mm-hmm.
A few years back,
mm-hmm.
you kind of put it on the back burner.
I just didn't see the value of it the way that I do now.
Right. You showed it to me the first time this year. I built some. You had some. We went out, and it's working excellent on beaver and otter. I know gray fox. Now you're catching coyotes. So the uses for that is just endless.
Well, the only thing that I can think of that we haven't caught off of it is mink, and neither one of us really have a way to test that.
No.
And the other one is a red fox, just because we don't have those either.
No, we don't. But we got some in somebody else's hands that promised me they will work on the mink and the red fox that they have. So hopefully we'll get some video stuff like that.
Well, you know, the big reason... to be honest with you, Norm, that turned me on about that, because I was thinking coon, and I'm doing a video on how to use this thing, and that's how I'm starting out. I'm starting out with coyotes because I don't want someone to get confused that it's a coon product.
Right.
Even though it's a great coon product, it does a whole lot more. For anybody that traps coyotes, bobcats, fox, anything on dry ground, even coon on dry ground, if you use peat moss and grass over your trap, I don't care if it rains 10 inches. Unless it floods,
mm-hmm.
everything's still working. And that's one of the things I've been striving for 15 years.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't stand having traps that don't work.
Mm-hmm.
And this is meeting the bill.
Yeah, short of a snare that works, mm-hmm. You know, unless it gets rained and frozen. Absolutely, you don't have to rebait it. The bait lasts for weeks, as long as you're using a good quality bait and lure in there.
Well, both of those coyotes we filmed tonight, both of them still had the bait and lure in there. I ain't got to rebait the set to catch another one.
No, just beat it back in the ground. Mm-hmm. Move it over 6 inches.
So. Yeah, they are pretty cool. Well, I thought you was going to nail me on something.
Well, you know, I guess I was going to bring up the Alcatraz and just, you know, that's a little bit of a sore subject per se. And but you reacted quite well to that. So, yeah, that was the highlight. I wasn't going to try to slam you too hard because repercussions just really suck. And I'm having a bad enough time right now.
Well, you know, and I'm sure you brought up the FB1 just because you hear people saying stuff. And I've been at this long enough coming out with new stuff. I don't care what it is. You could, honest to goodness, you could give trappers $100, and if they had to pay taxes on that $100 and you gave it to them, there'd still be a lot of them out there complaining about it. I mean, it's just the nature of the game.
You know, the Freedom brand won. That you put your name to it,
mm-hmm.
and endorse it, that it was a great trap. And the majority of people on the internet, again, you know, and hate it. You know, they talk bad about the trap, talk bad about you, talk bad, you know, all the way around. And so this is a good opportunity to point blank, because they won't tell you that to your face.
You know, when the Dukes first came out,
mm-hmm.
The first year, that's all you heard about Dukes. They're junk, they're weak, they're not going to work. Within 3 years, the best-selling dog-proof trap there is.
Absolutely. Yeah.
The same thing. It doesn't matter what it is. You know, it's just the nature of the game.
Well, you are a big target. You put yourself out there. And...
Well, I mean, another trap I've been using this year, I've been highly impressed with, and... is the Bridger number 3 Dogless. I will own a lot more of those. That is Tim Caven.
Yeah.
They did that right. I mean, they did it right.
That is. I was really impressed when you showed me that trap. It's heavy duty, big pan, thick metal.
Well, not big pan like I like, but big pan for a stock trap.
For a stock trap, exactly. Yeah, nothing like you do. And I think you've already thinking about a way to try to make the pan bigger.
Yeah, since you got my welder, you'll be getting a template in the mail.
Yeah, well, you can't weld, so it doesn't matter. I'll do it for you. They're also got a size 2.
Well, I saw it on Facebook. It just came out and said, you know, we haven't told anybody we have number 2s available. I don't know what the cost are. I don't know exact dimensions or anything like that, but in a state like where you live,
yeah. I'm restricted to a number 2 size trap.
I mean, if it's like the number 3, I have a feeling that's going to dominate.
Yeah.
Coyote traps.
Well, Tim changed the conibear style traps, mm-hmm. as well, and now they close all the way. And you know, I've caught beaver by their tail and held them.
I think the triggers need some work on that. They move a lot, but the mm-hmm. trap body, it's, yeah, I can't, for the price difference. You know, I've always talked Belials.
Mm-hmm.
For the price difference, it does what a Belials does. But you got to, and that's something I need to do a video on how to take the slack out of the triggers.
Yeah, you got to take a rat tail file to that. And
Or you can weld a piece to the trigger itself on both sides. You use leverage on your side instead of.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, what he did is he took Belials out of the market. Because of the price.
Yeah.
Because they're not much more than Duke Magnums.
They're not. And it is a well-built trap. Now, it is a little harder to set.
Yeah.
You know, that gets a little aggravating. But it's really worth it. It's worth every penny. He did a good job on designing that, too.
You know, and with all this new stuff coming out, I mean, it's always going to come out. And I guarantee you things are going to get radical. You know, I can't talk about some of the stuff that I've talked with people about because they're working on patents and things, but there's traps coming out that'll blow your mind.
Yeah.
And I guarantee you when they first come out, they're gonna play hell on the internet because it's so different.
Mm-hmm.
And I hadn't used them, but if they do half of what they're supposed to, we'll be talking about them, I'm sure.
Oh, absolutely. Especially if you have anything in the world to talk about them. You know, out there and say that's a good trap.
Well, I like good stuff.
You do.
I gotta have good stuff because I abuse it too much.
Yeah. Yeah, that is true. Quality only hurts once. Something like that you've said several times.
Until the road grader starts blowing over them, yeah.
I've had some traps run over down here by workers. Could have been in tractors or trucks.
Well, I can tell you, one morning, the road grader here, when me and Scott were here, he brought me what was left of one of my drags. And he goes, "Is this yours?" And I go, "It was." And he goes, "Man, I mean, that's gonna pop my tire if I gets caught up there." And I'm like, "Well, how are you getting into the drags? They're thrown up in the woods." And he goes, "Well, I don't know. I went and looked at his road grader. He had 3 CDRs clamped to the side of the road grader." So I know 3 saber-tooth drags and 3 CDRs and 30 foot of total chain will not stop a road grader. But 4 maybe, I'm not sure. And before we end, I have a safety warning for people.
Okay, let's hear it.
Okay, when you're out of state and you have a walk-in cooler, do not put the beer on the bottom shelf and all the animals in the fur above them. Because we all got to drinking a few brewskis tonight, and we all realized we were getting our daily dose of rabies, because blood was all in the rims and on the cans, and it was a little tangy.
It really was. That wasn't good.
So beer goes on top shelf. Fur and blood and stuff goes under the beer.
Underneath. That is good advice.
Is there anything else you want to ask me?
No, I think we've covered pretty much everything. You know, we did a little bit of everything. We went from out of state to in state to new products, and you know, you didn't pull your gun. We did good.
Not on with a recorder going, I'm not.
Excellent.
Well, guys, I'll be back. We should be on a regular schedule with regular radio shows and all that, probably starting here another week or so. So you'll get to hear the music again, and it'll be a lot more polished than this. I mean, this is raw as you can get.
Yeah, somebody's getting soft in their old age and has to go home to mama.
Like mama.
Yeah. Yeah.
Terrible. Not ashamed of that.
Terrible.
You brought yours with you.
That's true. You had the opportunity.
Well, it's going to take both of y'all to push that truck back to Georgia.
And with the trailer loaded, yeah, definitely. I'll be calling you up to come get me. No, I forget that. You got a Jeep. It don't break because it ain't big enough to carry nothing.
No, but it don't break either. Love my Jeep.
Yeah, that's you tried to kill students in that thing. Poor Daryl.
But he's got some type of respiratory problem. I can't help that.
Rides around in your Jeep. It fills up full of dust. Within 2 days, the man can't breathe. He can't talk. He's using an inhaler.
Well, I noticed something was going on when he put one in paper masks like you're painting something.
Yeah. Yeah, and you didn't even feel bad and put the back window down or nothing for him. You just kept on going through the dirt roads.
Hey, there's a cost in trapping. It's different for everybody.
Yeah, he paid the ultimate cost there. He was pretty rough. And the inside of your Jeep, Cindy's going to kill you. That thing's horrible. You can't even tell what kind of guns you have in there because they're so covered with dirt and dust.
I did have to wipe one of the scopes to shoot the coyote tonight.
Exactly. Yeah, if you pull the trigger, it's going to be like a dust storm coming out of there.
But it is fun when I turn the air on in the afternoon.
Oh, I bet.
I step out, turn the air on, step back in. But it's working.
Yeah. Well, it is running down the road. That is true.
Finished?
I'm good.
See y'all next time.